Good day, everyone. Welcome back to the 23 Podcast. Wherever you are, whenever you are listening, thank you so much for making us part of your day today. My name is Parker Kern here, as most of the time, and especially on a day like today, the 8th Sunday in Ordinary That's Time right. this weekend. Wow, the Equinox. Father Jeff.
I'm mostly glad to be here.
You're mostly glad to be here. Okay.
Yeah. Well, since I'm only here most of the time, that's why I thought I'd say I'm mostly glad to be here.
Because I was going
to
say that, you know, I look forward to
most is a lot.
Our little podcast days.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. That's great.
No, it's wonderful. And we're in March now.
I know.
We've hit the spring month.
I know. It is nice. You know, January, February has been a little rough.
That's bad. So, it's bad stuff, man.
Yeah.
We're turning the corner.
I know.
We're turning
it
the corner.
It does feel good. It does feel good to turn the corner on that. You know, it makes a difference.
I would totally agree. What are some of your favorite things to do in the spring? I mean, I know we're not there yet, but you know, March, spring, it gets a little warmer. What do you do?
You know, I'm a pretty simple guy. So I'm a fair weather walker.
Love that.
And so like you're not going to see me taking walks in the winter unless it's like perfectly calm, you know, that kind of thing. So I look forward to getting just sort of back out taking walks more.
Cool.
I just sort of also enjoy like sitting out. And so there's that early spring, but there's a chance, you know, more of a chance to just sort of maybe sit out, you know, sit on the patio or something. Yeah, I look forward to doing that kind of stuff again. That's what I look forward to with some warmer weather. Yeah, you?
Beautiful. Honestly, ditto. Honestly, yeah. Exact nice. Same. Walking nice. And sitting out is paramount to the happiness of my existence.
Yeah.
So
nice.
It's been a long, I know we say this every year, but it's been a long, cold winter.
That's
this year especially has been really
Yeah,
long,
last couple cold. Have been kind of mild. Obviously cold relative to like summer, but still mild relative to the winter. But we got it's sort of like this winter's been averaging it out.
Yeah, it really has. It's kind of taking its revenge.
Yes, it's the revenge of winter.
The revenge
sure.
of revenge of the
still
winter.
Still not a lot of snow, but still it's still the revenge of cold.
Yeah. But here we are. We're turning the corner into spring. And as my Aunt Jane would say, very soon we'll be saying, "Spring has sprung. The bird is on the wing. My, how absurd. I thought the wing was on the bird."
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Let that sink in for a second.
You might have to repeat that.
Spring has sprung. Mm-hmm. The bird is on the wing. As if, like, the bird is probably flying. Like, the bird is on the wing.
Uh-huh.
My, how absurd. I thought the wing was on the bird.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man.
Very deep stuff.
Yeah, I heard a saying once, spring is sprung, the grass is riz. I wonder where all the birdies is. That's not as deep.
That sounds like something you saw on TikTok or something.
Yeah. But no, that was way before TikTok.
Really?
Yeah.
Riz was a term before TikTok?
No, riz like risen. Spring is sprung, the grass is riz.
I thought you meant riz. Like,
no, I don't know how grass would be riz.
I don't know either.
Like R-I-Z-Z, riz.
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
Yeah, you know? Grass is probably like one of the least riz things out there.
Because it just constantly gets stepped on or pooped on by birds.
Yeah,
you know?
absolutely no riz.
or just cut down, like constantly by the lawnmower.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Anyways, that was fun. I honestly, I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Yeah, riz. That's hilarious. That's where your mind went.
Well, you know, with all this bussin' talk, you know.
That's right, all that.
I mean, riz.
Sus, mid.
Well, you say sus. I think you dropped sus in a homily one time.
It's sort of become part of my everyday vocabulary.
About lost it. You know?
Yeah.
I love it. I love that you really have this modern lingo down.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. Although, you know, as you read up on this stuff, it says like for people like me, by the time I get it down, it's like not cool anymore. But yeah. I still try.
It's you. Then you look sus while you're saying it.
That's
people
right.
are like, I don't know.
Yeah, I say drip a lot.
Drip. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I feel like some of
they
the
love
stuff,
that at Liao. They love it at Liao.
Yeah.
I say drip.
Yeah.
So.
I think some of these are like, you know, kind of like blue jeans, right? It's just timeless.
Right.
Like
it's
you really
become
can't
part
go
of
wrong.
It's just become part of the lexicon, so to speak.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it's just kind of become the fabric of the culture and the. I mean, again, with all the different, you know, ways we have to communicate now and things like that. I mean, people communicate and there's trends and stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of like clothes, you know?
You know, dude had to start somewhere.
Dude.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Not wrong.
Yeah, you know, maybe bra will kind of stick around.
Bruh.
For decades.
I would think. I would hope so.
I don't think that one's going away.
No, I would agree.
So
I would agree.
Speaking of older things,
oh boy,
happy to report that I was correct on the song I sang last week,
yes,
with Richard Marx.
Yes.
You know, it was probably one of those songs that, you know, was on the radio, and we were sitting in the backseat of the station wagon, you know, back in the day when that was still allowed. So
no seatbelt.
Nope. Yeah. But yeah,
it. Hard
Richard Marx. You know, there's that famous picture of Jesus that a lot of people really like. Some people call him like Surfer Jesus, you know, or like I've heard Dateable Jesus.
Oh boy.
But I've also heard that same picture referred to as Richard Marx Jesus.
Oh, I'm gonna have to look that one up.
Yeah, yeah. I think some people are out there knowing which image I'm talking about.
Oh, I'm sure they
but,
do.
Yeah,
I've always seen the one where Jesus is pointing, like smiling and pointing with both his fingers.
Mm.
That's a fun one too.
Yeah, yeah. I think I had a little figure of that once that someone gave me. So
that's nice.
Yeah,
yeah. Richard Marx kind of does look like Jesus a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not probably exactly, but
yeah.
I don't know how good of a relationship he has with Jesus, but you know, that's neither here nor there. He made a good song. Yeah, should have known better. 1987.
Yeah. So I Googled Surfer Jesus and it popped right up.
Oh, I've seen that one before.
Everyone's seen that one before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks very good in that.
Yeah. Richard.
I don't know
Richard Hook. I never knew the actual name of the person who painted it.
Richard. Of course, the guy's name is Richard, too.
Richard Hook, head of Christ. Oh, Richard. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it all ties back.
I think it was actually Richard Marx, and it was just like he was like trying to throw people off.
He was using a pseudonym or whatever.
Right. You know,
an alias.
And then if you Google Surfer Jesus, besides that picture, there's pictures of Jesus surfing.
Well, that's what I thought it was. I thought it was like him on a surfboard, like
all the
Hang
Ten
or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that's what you meant.
It's the hair.
No, yeah, he's got that flow going.
Yeah,
did you ever try to grow out your hair?
No.
No? You always kind of had it high and tight,
yeah.
like it is. Nice part.
Yeah.
Very military.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. My brother did for a lot of years,
yeah.
but I just never... I never did.
Never did so, the flow.
Yeah, even you know all those years I like loved Metallica and stuff. I still just never,
yeah.
never did on my own.
It's okay.
Yeah,
that's yeah. what wigs are for.
It was a little right.
Go to their concerts yeah. and just,
right,
headbang.
Yeah, doesn't have the full effect without the hair. But
no, it really
know,
doesn't. But that's you okay. Know. You so, know, that's good.
Still fun.
I tried flow in high school. I actually got the part of Gaston in the musical.
Oh,
my senior year, at Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Gaston. I ate 5 dozen eggs every day. Yeah.
Hello.
LeFou, yeah. See, the littlest dude in the whole thing had the biggest voice. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Man.
Anyways, but I tried to grow my hair out, and it didn't. I couldn't get it long enough by the time the show was,
mm-hmm.
and it was starting to get agitating.
Mm.
So I like went to the director, and I'm like, "Look, the show opens in like 3 weeks. There's no way I'm gonna get my hair, you know, like this long."
Right.
Because like I only got the casting for it like 3 months before, and then I told everybody, I was like, okay, I'm going to grow my hair out.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be great. It's going to be like luscious locks.
Right.
And all this stuff.
Like
and
Surfer
it just
Jesus.
Didn't, it just, yeah. yeah, right, Surfer Jesus or Surfer mm-hmm. Parker, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't get to the point. And yeah. so I had to like, so then I immediately like went, got my hair cut, and then I just got a wig, yeah.
Yeah.
Which was a bit anticlimactic, because I actually had seen another high school production of it, like, 2 years before, which unbeknownst to me, I really liked the guy who played Gaston in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of molded my performance over his.
Interesting.
And this dude, probably, I don't know who this guy is. He's probably like
he doesn't know how much he's impacted your
No,
life.
He's probably like some financial analyst yeah. in Keokuk, Iowa or something right now, just like mm-hmm. doing his own thing.
Right.
And but
blissfully unaware.
Right, yeah. But here, I mean, he had like a really big impact on me.
Whoa.
In the role. But anyways... Yeah, so that was my flow story, but I've never had it that long. I've never had Surfer Jesus here.
Yeah, nor I.
Yeah, that's okay. We're good with
yeah.
what we're
I don't know. You know, some people can pull that look off. Some people maybe can't.
Yeah, I don't know. The parted look just always, you know.
You know.
Always, it's yeah. timeless. Like a pair of blue jeans or like bro or dude.
Yeah.
It's timeless.
So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Father, we have an equinox this weekend.
We do?
So, well, not really. Like, I, you know, eighth Sunday in ordinary time.
Oh.
As in, like, it never happens.
Oh, gotcha.
That's kind of where
yeah,
I was going
it is,
with it.
It is. Gotcha.
It's like a once in a... It's more
but,
than once
but
in
there,
a blue
there is
moon.
An equinox in March, though, right?
Well, yeah, there's... Well, of course, there's the
that's,
spring.
That's what
spring
threw me
equinox.
Off. I'm like, no, it's only March 2nd.
I'm sorry. No, I meant, gotcha. Like, we have, like, a... like the last year with the you know, day night thing, the big equinox in April last year.
Oh, the eclipse.
Yeah, the eclipse. Sorry. Yeah. I don't even know my terms.
Gotcha.
I always say this. I'm not a scientist.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
I say this to my mother-in-law, who's a dietitian. I'm no scientist.
I am no scientist.
So I trust you, you know. No, I know I shouldn't be eating Cheez-Its and, you know, Cinnamon Toast Crunch every day. I get it. I'm no scientist. I just put what feels good in my body. You know?
Actually, I think this reminded me. I had a homily in seminary where I literally started out by saying, I am no scientist. That was like how we started it.
Smart guy.
Yeah.
Smart guy.
You know?
Way to go. Admit that you're not a scientist and then have the scientist help you.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. So we have a very rare occurrence.
It is a rare occurrence.
Rare air.
It's the Halley's Comet of ordinary time Sundays.
That's what I was trying to get at. Something like really out of the ordinary.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. But this is the last Sunday in ordinary time before Lent.
Do we know historically when was the last time we had an eighth Sunday in ordinary time? Like calendar year wise?
I do not. That we could probably look up.
Like, have you ever had one as a priest?
I don't know. Wow. Yeah, it's rare. It's rare. I'll have to look up and see if I, you know, back when I wrote out the homilies, I might see if I have an eighth Sunday somewhere.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's definitely.
But I mean, obviously before, you know, Lent.
It's been a while. Yeah. It's been a while. Because even if Easter is like early, you might have an eighth week of ordinary time. But you know, we have all those, special Sundays after Pentecost. You know, like Holy Trinity Sunday, Corpus Christi. So that makes it even less likely that it's going to be like after the Easter season, you know, as opposed to before Lent. So
yeah.
So we might not hear these readings a whole lot. So
ever again. It could be like a time capsule.
Yeah. Exactly.
We should like make a time capsule this week and say open readings, the next ordinary time or next eighth Sunday in ordinary time before Easter.
That's right. We can like clip articles from the paper with headlines from that year.
Put in a Richard Marx CD.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That would throw people off though.
Yeah, be like, well, this was 1987.
That was from the last time we had eighth Sunday
in ordinary time.
So,
that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the Richard Marx era.
That was. Yeah. Or no, clearly we need a picture of Surfer Jesus in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And obviously a recording of this podcast, like a CD.
Yeah.
Or we should put it on like a floppy disk and throw people off.
Yeah, we'll have to dig one of those up and a computer that we can put it into.
Yeah.
I was just getting ordained when that transition was happening.
Oh, really?
And so I had my first mass in my home parish, and then the next Sunday I was at my internship parish, which is St. Paul in Norwalk, where I'd spent a year. So I had my homily all written out, and I was going to print it out in the office from the floppy disk. And so I went. This is like Sunday morning. Like, I'm about to. I could have thought ahead a little bit. But per my memory, and this is going on like 20 years ago, you know, or not quite, but I'm like, I'll just print this off in the office beforehand. So I get down to the office, and they had already transitioned to like computers that didn't have the disk drive.
Mm.
And I'm like freaking out. I ended up finding one. Or maybe I had to go back to the house and print it off there.
Start like knocking on neighbors' doors Sunday at 7 a.m.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, that was like this big like technology like revelation. Like, we're entering into a new era.
Bigger
like,
than Y2K.
Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, you put your stuff on the floppy disk. That's what you do.
I mean,
you know, but now I can't put it anywhere.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's like, again, we've had this discussion before. It's like CD players in cars.
Right. Exactly.
I could probably get $100,000 for my Ford Focus because it's got a CD player.
I know. I do miss it. So,
I'm sure.
Although I'm sure there's something you could plug in, but it's just not it's not as cool as actually having it.
Yeah, just having it go in.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I think mine could like fit like six CDs.
So, oh, yeah.
Especially like the drive like to and from seminary.
Oh,
you
know, my
you
gosh.
Can just load that up.
Yeah, where you had the Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah, exactly.
Al Rabalto, be quiet.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
And Richard Marx.
Yeah.
All the good stuff.
Right. Should have known
Metallica.
Better.
Metallica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All that.
Should have known better for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
so anyway.
It's fun. Yeah, anyway.
So Lent.
We digress.
Lent. So
coming up.
Ash Wednesday. It's this Wednesday, March 5th.
Correct.
So we have masses at 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Get your ashes inside, baby.
That's right. Day of Fast and Abstinence. And then we're doing a little something different with the Stations of the Cross this Lent. Instead of them being every Friday, we're going to have three Fridays, but there's going to be like a soup and bread meal beforehand. Mm. So the first one's actually coming up this Friday, the 7th.
Soup and bread,
and,
huh?
And so we'll have a little simple, you know, meatless meal down in Roncalli Hall. I believe it's at 6. Probably should look that up.
Yeah. But, you're the pastor. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's right.
What I say goes.
That's right, you know.
That's the bottom line.
That's why I tell people with like mass, like they won't start without me.
Right. So, nothing starts until you get there. Let's be real.
But well, mass anyway. but yeah, so we'll have that in the hall, and then the Stations at 7 in church. Yeah.
I think we're having
three of those. It's in the bulletin. Like the next one, they're like every 2 weeks, and the first one is this Friday.
I think you really missed an opportunity here to include another activity.
Missed so many opportunities, but go ahead.
I think we should have had a bowling, you know, tournament, so then you could have bowling for soup at Stations of the Cross.
And like instead of the Super Bowl.
Well, no, like bowling for soup, like the band. It's another CD that we can throw in there.
Oh man, bowling for soup.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know. I've that's such a great idea. Like, imagine a bowling tournament where they're bowling for like a year's supply of Campbell's soup.
Yeah.
And then they can call it bowling for soup.
Yeah.
And like,
maybe they have that Napoleon.
I don't know.
That's where the Campbell soup.
I don't know. I know Pete Weber's retired now, so I'd want him on my team. But
no,
that's the "Who Do You Think You Are, I Am" guy. I've told that story before.
I believe so.
Yeah, the angry the dude. He was nuts.
Right.
I love him.
Yeah.
He's so crazy to watch. But anyways,
the one bowler I know.
Pretty much the one bowler everybody knows.
That's right.
He was the best. No, so soup and bread.
Friday.
Then stations. Wonderful.
Yep.
Wonderful.
Yeah, should be great.
Yeah, and I know Deacon Tom's, I think, is on the
March 21st.
And people love that one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Unfortunately, I won't be around for that one this year, but
actually I won't be there. But
well,
he will be, and his crew, and it'll be great.
They do a wonderful job. I was there last year. It was very moving.
Yeah.
Very moving.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing. So shout out to him, and shout out to all the people that kind of put that one on as well. And of course the other two, very good, and I'm sure they'll be wonderful as well.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Sometimes simple's good. You know, but
simple enough.
Yeah.
Simple plan. Good.
Yep.
Just naming all the 90s bands.
Right. Or what? Well, the 80s. Simple Minds.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's us. That's us. We should call the show Simple Minds.
Yes.
It'd
be really fitting.
It would.
It'd be really fitting.
It would. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's what the listeners call it.
Probably call it, helpless guys.
That's right.
Talking.
I know.
23 minutes.
We listen out of pity.
Yeah, it's kind of like Seinfeld. It's the show about nothing.
Yes.
Other than the gospel.
And 23 minutes is kind of sitcom like length, right? When you factor out
the commercials, right?
So there you go.
We're right in there.
That's right.
We're the next Seinfeld.
That's right.
Call up Larry David. Tell him we've got the next big thing for him.
That's right. That's right.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Seinfeld was pretty clever, though.
I love Seinfeld.
Yeah. You know, and some people didn't like the final episode because it was a show about nothing and it
didn't really
wrap up with a nice bow on top.
That's kind of the point, though.
Right. And sometimes I can be a little bit of a contrarian, if you will.
Yeah, that's fine.
And so I even remember like the fact that a lot of people hated the final episode, like maybe love it even more.
Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah, I feel it.
Yeah,
I feel it.
You know? So. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the final episode of Ordinary Time before we get into Lent.
That's right.
Here we go.
I know. So this is really concluding Jesus' Sermon on the Plain in Luke chapter 6, which we've been walking through the last few Sundays. This is Luke 6, verses 39 to 45. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? No disciple is superior to the teacher, but when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove that splinter in your eye," when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye. A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor a rotten tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For people do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do they gather grapes from brambles. A good person out of the store of goodness in his heart produces good, but an evil person out of a store of evil produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whoa.
Yeah. That's...
Yeah, it's deep. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely true, right? From the fruit that you will know him, know us, right? And so that call to bear fruit in our life. And I think especially with Lent coming up, I think that's, you know, another good, I mean, this whole Luke chapter 6 is kind of one good examination of conscience. And
yeah, really.
Where's the Lord stepping us, calling us to step into more, like we talked about last week, being merciful as he's merciful. How can we more like Jesus? And what gets in the way of that? Where have we fallen short in that? So how can we bear good fruit in our lives? Where can we recognize we've not done that and reconcile that and have a new start? Of course, Lent's a great time of year for the sacrament of reconciliation that, you know, takes out the trash and puts God's life back to us in a new way. Yeah, so I think this is another good examination for us stepping into this holy season of transformation.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when he's talking about the, you know, if you have a beam in your eye and you're saying about the other person having, you know, something, anytime you point at somebody, there's always three fingers pointing back at you.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's kind of the deal for me. Like, you know, we're quick to point out when other people sometimes are, you know, make an error, or if they're, you know, if we think they're doing something wrong or incorrectly. Like we want to say, well, that's not right. Yeah. You're not doing that correctly. But we need to also look at ourselves and, like you said, kind of examine our own conscience
first. Yeah.
Yeah. And before we speak, right? Kind of think before you speak, like, you know, our moms used to tell us, don't just, you know, blurt something out when you're, you know, it's kind of like, let he is without sin cast the first stone.
There's also, I've heard, and I think it's true, like if something about somebody else bothers us, maybe it's because we do that too.
Yeah, it's, yeah. As I like to say, that's your problem. Yeah, so it kind of seems like if that's right, if that's something that somebody else does,
kind of irks us, then
right,
it's kind of like projecting.
Maybe that's kind of your issue that you need to sort out, and we can, you know, kind of start to do that during this time of reflection and renewal in Lent, and maybe, you know, maybe we focus on that. We focus on, you know, how to be better, sort of outbound. Christly communicators with other people.
True.
Instead of, you know, like you said, projecting, or, you know, obviously our own thoughts are our own thoughts, right? And those, you know, those come in for a reason, but we need to, again, really look within ourselves, not just at what we're saying and what we're doing, but really also what we're thinking, and really try to kind of clean that up and purify it and act as we've seen for the last 2 weeks, the last several weeks of what God would really want for us. So let's pray on that, Father.
Yeah, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. God, let's thank you for not selling us short, that you have so much more in store for us, that you recognize our capacity to just go beyond ourselves, even with challenging things. The ways that you call us to greater imitate your life and bear good fruit, especially with this season of Lent that is upon us, give us greater awareness to know what those things are that hold us back, and where you're calling us to step into a fuller share in your life. God, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. Sustain us this day and each day in that love in the Holy Spirit. And through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Great show.
Thanks, Parker. Thanks, everybody. God bless you. And we'll see you soon.